Welcome back to another episode of Our Interesting Times. It is my pleasure to have Andy Nowicki back on the show. Andy, how are you doing?
Hey Tim, it's good to be with you. And like you just keep on sailing on through. You're just always a stalwart presence here on the internet. I sometimes lose track of you, but then I find out you're still plugging away. And that's it's so it's always good to talk to you. We've talked several times before, and it's good to. But it's been a little while since we've talked, maybe about a year or so. So it's good to talk to you again.
Well, things keep going until they don't. Then,
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Arguing with that.
so you wanted to talk about some work you've completed. One thing I
Yes.
did read the your reflections on the 2020 scandemic,
Yes.
kind of a look back on that annus horribilis, I guess you could say. He goes, well, it stretched
Yeah.
really up, really it stretched until 2022, if you really think about it. But really, it was
Yeah.
20, it was really March of 2020 until I would have said it peaked. It petered out around September, October 2021. I think that coincides
Right.
with the Supreme Court's decision that you couldn't force jab people and then
Yeah. Oh,
kind of
yeah.
start
That
to disintegrate.
might have been the turning point there. You're right. I was thinking that it officially ended in February of 2022
That was the announcement, wasn't
when
it?
Russia invaded Ukraine. We were
Yeah,
onto
but
the new
wasn't there
thing.
also an, was that 2023 or 2022 when Biden made that uncelebrated announcement that it was over or something? It was like,
Oh,
I
I
forget if it was,
don't
I
know.
don't know, I forget if it was 2022 or 2023, but then
Yeah.
we're all supposed to forget everything, what occurred, all the
Yeah.
madness. We just forget about it. Declare an amnesty, per the
Yeah,
Atlantic.
let's declare a pandemic amnesty.
They wanted to
You
ruin your
mean?
life. They called you names, chased you out of stores, throwing produce at you, calling you terrible names, ruin your kids' lives. Just forget about it. They're just trying to do their job, trying to do the best that what they could
And
do.
doing the they were doing the best that they could with the under the circumstances with the knowledge that they had. So let's just forgive them.
So you reflected on the scamdemic, the COVID pandemic, as they called it, the COVID-19,
Yeah.
SARS. Co SARS, yeah, SARS,
Ours
COVID-19,
too.
SARS 2, yeah. But there is disease X, if I'm honest. I see that pop up. The World Health Organization is talking about disease X, meaning there's a variable out there. Could be a disease out there they don't know about yet, but it's called disease X.
Yeah. Oh
So
boy, that's
we should
great.
probably shelter in place from lest we have disease X.
Oh well. We'll see. What prompted me to compose this work is I actually during 2020, I think from March through June or maybe July, I composed a number of articles that at the time were published at Affirmative Right, which at the time I was writing for, and they since disappeared from that site, but I did post them elsewhere under the name lockdownpsyop.blogspot.com. So it was like I had these articles under Blogger, but then when Substack came along and was a much more sure and sturdy kind of free speech forum, then I started moving things over there. And what I realized was starting at around the end of the end of 2023 going into 2024 was that I mean this it's the same sort of thing that I guess a lot of people like us who think like us are we as you were talking about a moment ago, where you were just supposed to forget about it, we're just supposed to put it behind us, it's the past and all of that. But I was just thinking it thinking to myself, this is really this was well, let me put it this way. Like for years and years, I had always sort of thought there was not much limit to what, quote unquote, they might try. By they, I mean the powers that shouldn't be, whatever you want to call them, you know, the deep state, what have you. You know, and there was a lot that, I mean, I thought they were capable of a ton of things, and they had already perpetrated a ton of things. I did not at all foresee, you know, that they would invent a so-called pandemic, create a panic, you know, just stoke fear to the nth degree, and make people quit their jobs, make students, make kids stay home from school, in some cases make people stay in their houses, forbid them from traveling. You know, this is in the so-called quote unquote free world, you know, force churches to close, stop people from being able to demonstrate, you know, to express their First Amendment rights to assemble, and all under the auspices of, you know, oh, well, this is a deadly global pandemic. So we've got to follow, you know, all the rules, everything everything that we're supposed to live by, all of the God-given rights and freedoms that we supposedly have, all that goes out the window because this is a deadly global pandemic. I did not see that coming. That was a curveball for me, and I think for a lot of people. It was one thing just going through it while it was happening, just going day by day through it, thinking, well, what's next? You know, when's this going to end? What are they going to try next? And then it got really loopy when summer rolled around, and suddenly there was racial strife everywhere, and there was this police brutality.
I think racism was declared a greater health, a public health matter than the COVID itself, than the virus.
It was. Well, it was sort of like, it was.
There was actually a letter signed by public health officials to that effect. Racism is a greater threat to public health.
I remember that. But I think it was a classic case of cognitive dissonance, because they were at the one time telling us, and this is one of the things I note in publication, Reflections on the 2020 Scamdemic, which we're talking about here. I remember that, it must be all about cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance just scrambles scrambles the circuits in your head, because you're supposed to believe two things simultaneously that blatantly contradict one another, or, you know, or what Orwell called doublethink.
I believe it was Labor Day weekend, wasn't it, when George Floyd met his demise?
Oh, I thought it was much earlier than that, because I'm remembering in June was when people started to mean Memorial Day weekend, right?
I'm sorry, Memorial. I always get those two confused. Memorial Day weekend. I'm sorry about that. So it was late May. Last week of May, I think, that he ran into Derek Chauvin when he tried to buy a pack of cigarettes with a counterfeit $20 bill. And then he proceeded to eat the drugs that he had on him, I guess presumably he was going to sell, and he suffered cardiac arrest, and then Derek Chauvin was railroaded, you know,
We found out later, didn't we, that they both were porn stars, and that they both had been bouncers in the same establishment or something. They knew each other.
He was a security guard at like a topless bar or something, and he was there too. He was an aspiring porn star. Guess I wouldn't make you a porn star, you're a porn actor, I guess, at that point. I don't know if he got a star. Is there like a Hollywood Boulevard for porn stars?
There probably is somewhere. I don't know.
Outside some horrible, disgusting theater.
Yeah, probably. I'm not even all that aware of that. I mean, I don't know what's real and what isn't, as far as what they tell us in the news. I don't know whether the George Floyd incident, you know, was an authentic thing that happened, or if it was just something that was artificially constructed. Just like I don't know.
Well, if anything, we know the narrative. That was pushed.
Well, and it's the same thing with the, the same thing with the so-called virus. I mean,
it was fake enough to put Derek Chauvin in jail for the rest of his
yeah,
life.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So, but I guess it was real enough to put Derek Chauvin in jail for the rest of his life. There's a lady up there did a up in, I think she's up in Minnesota, I forget her name. About it's called was it the lying to her? I forget the name of the, late last year she did a documentary just pointing out all the lies that were told regarding George Floyd. You know.
Yeah, I'm sure there were a lot. You know, there's some stories I just keep my distance from because I don't want to get wrapped up in the minutia. But I'm at the same time I'm aware that you know one should always be cautious about accepting anything as
well. One thing is the COVID pandemic in full blast at that point. You had the Memorial Day weekend, the weather. That's when you had all these people getting out, like in Wisconsin, and being called out. And there was that great scene. I think it was on MSNBC or CNN. The reporter goes, "Here's this man not wearing a mask," and he goes, "Yeah, like your cameraman."
Yeah,
he's like wearing a Green Bay Packers jersey or hat. I forget what it was. He keeps saying he's just walking, and then I think the following week, because there's really nice weather, the following week the George Floyd incident, and that unleashed the summer of love, right?
Summer of love, yes.
Yeah. And they had that all, even where I live, you're all of a sudden, like the following week, you had all these black people on the street corner protesting, not knowing what the hell they're talking about, or you know, they're just responding to the stimuli, their orders, and. For like a week,
and plenty of white people got caught up. I mean, you know, like it was a white virtue signaling thing to have the blackout pic on your Instagram page.
Yes,
like was posting the blackout,
the washing of black feet.
and so it was like on the one hand, we were supposed to take this deadly global pandemic seriously. We're supposed to social, quote unquote, social distance. We're supposed to, stay away from each other and stay home. And now we're also supposed to all go out in the street and pack together with a ton of other people. And like Gretchen Whitmer, the awful governor of Michigan.
I hear she's presidential caliber. And I think that's accurate.
Maybe so. considering the kind of people who
didn't their husband get caught like going on a boat trip out to one of the lakes up there, and he said, "You know who my wife is?" So, boy, talk about being emasculated.
Yeah, I know.
You're giving me trouble. You know who my wife is?
That is pretty funny. That's. I didn't know. I didn't hear that story. But anyway, she was. There's a picture of her that I made sure to preserve, where she's doing the virtue signaling thing. She's kneeling with a bunch of with her arms linked with a bunch of other people in a big on a big crowded street. And this is the same woman who was saying, saying just a couple months earlier, nobody should leave their homes. Nobody should be able to travel to their vacation homes. Nobody should be even able to go out. Remember, she went so far as to say, you shouldn't be able to buy seeds from Home Depot or whatever.
Yeah, ever explained that?
No, I mean, I mean, the only way to explain it is to think that they didn't want people to be self-sufficient. They wanted people to keep going to Walmart and you know,
you can't grow food.
I mean, you'd think that would be a good way to stay if they want people to stay home. That's so that'd be give them something to do while they're staying at home. But so she was awful, but she just made this 180 degree turn, and suddenly, you know, went from governor lockdown to governor pack your get go out in the street with a bunch of other people.
She had called the protest. Yeah, she called the lockdown protesters Nazis and Confederates.
Yeah.
I like that. Nazis, yeah. Confederates. That's Confederate, just a word, isn't it? Right? You're a Confederate, meaning you're with someone,
Yeah.
in some sort of cause. So I
Yeah.
guess whatever. But it's
Yeah.
like, there was a protest there. In is it what's the capital? East Lansing, Michigan.
Oh gosh,
Right.
I wasn't expecting a geography
But
quiz.
there was a protest there, and someone showed up. Like, naturally, you have people with pickup trucks and Confederate flags. That's something that used to be very common all over the country.
Yeah.
But also, there was someone also with a poster with a swastika on it, equating going
Right.
to Whitmer to Hitler. And she it was spun in the media as if there were actual Nazis protesting.
Yeah, not CIA types or
But I do
whatever.
like, basically, they were calling her, it's a very all too common, all
Yeah.
frequent. You're like Hitler, whatever,
Yeah.
but they spun it as if they were actual Nazis, like the Brown Church have showed up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So they were saying Whitmer was like a Nazi, but the media tried to say the people who were
As if the local
were.
Nazi Party, as if there are lots of them around America, right? Because
Right.
listen to the ADL, it's the, you know, it's a very serious problem.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
They're
They're everywhere.
everywhere, and of course, everyone is a Nazi, is a potential Nazi, right? So that,
Yes.
yeah, that's what tried to spin it is that instead
Yeah.
of saying no, they're calling you. It's like anytime,
Yeah.
fascist or Nazi, that's this kind of in the American political lexicon when they're hurling
Absolutely.
abuses at somebody,
Yeah,
right?
it's
But they
been
try to
around
spin
for
it as if they were Nazis. So
yeah.
basically, if you were opposed to lockdown, you were a Nazi, therefore you're guilty of genocide and that sort of thing. So,
Yeah, if you wanted freedom, you were a Nazi. That's
yes.
really kind of a weird weird way of spinning the whole thing, but that's the way they've, I mean, that's just how
Well,
I get how that operates.
I mean, the irony is that then she comes out and then she's going to the George Floyd protest, kneeling and taking part,
Yes. Cheek
cheek by jowl with these protesters.
Yes. And that was what I pointed out
Yeah.
at the time, and reflecting on it later, and I also like the whole thing during June when white privilege became this byword or this thing that everybody was saying, and yet nobody talked about, let me see if I can find this, because I kind of like the way I put it here.
The worst thing
There's
they actually started saying white supremacy. Remember that? That became
yeah.
a
Yeah, that's kind of weird too, isn't it? Because it, like,
what?
when you say white supremacy, are you saying, oh, that white people are better? Like, that sounds like the connotation of saying white supremacy,
Yeah.
but is that you're saying that white people are supreme?
Well, if
But
there, I mean, if there's a regime, a white supremacist regime in power, you think it would keep people from saying white supremacy?
yeah,
It
yeah,
wouldn't
yeah.
acknowledge it. Like, you don't criticize those who are in power. You're not allowed to.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. If they're being
Yeah.
criticized or being abused rhetorically, in many instances physically on the street, then they're not the superior group. They're not in a
Right.
position of superiority at that point anymore.
But here's the quote that I have about the white privilege thing. This is from my work. Then came the talking about what happened in June of 2020. Then came the proliferation of the BLM logo and the taking a knee gesture performed by pro athletes when sports started to be played again, all of which were designed to exacerbate racial tension in concert with the contrived and predictable anti-white rhetoric, which of course was always geared exclusively at middle or working class whites and never at the sort of obscenely wealthy and ridiculously powerful white people who had actual power, i.e., those running the PSYOP like Klaus Schwab or Anthony Fauci or Bill and Melinda Gates or Bill and Hillary Clinton or the Bush family or the Trudeau family or Ted Turner or Angela Merkel or Jacinda Ardern or Jeffrey Bezos or Gretchen Whitmer or Mark Zuckerberg or Gavin Newsom or Emmanuel Macron or Andrew Cuomo or any of the rest of the predominantly white cabal of rulers, some of them elected but most of them unelected, who were spearheading the worldwide lockdown begun in March 2020, as well as orchestrating the mostly peaceful chaos launched in June 2020. So this thing about white privilege, like, It's weird how white privilege is always just it's a cudgel or it's like they try to turn it. It's a verbal weapon that they try to use against whites who really aren't that privileged. But at the same time, the kind of people that I mentioned who are, you know, billionaires and do whatever they want and basically steer the ship of the world into perilous waters. And not all of them are white either, of course. Some of them are other things, but it's fascinating, isn't it, that none of them get called on their white privilege.
Yes, because yeah, that's, well, we know why. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, the well, another irony is that, you know, it was some of these dictators who were more liberal, like was Lukashenko in Belarus, where he says, you know, and the whole thing broke, he said, calm down, go outside, work, you know, work outside, get some fresh air, you'll be fine. He's a horrible dictator, but we have our elected leaders like Gretchen Whitmer and Cuomo locking everyone down. So wait, who's more dictatorial here?
Yeah. And see, that's, yeah, absolutely. And that's what I realized a few years later, you know, it's a scar that I don't think has healed or will heal, because this whole fake pandemic thing, the scamdemic, as I call it, and like a lot of other people call it, because it showed that they would actually pull something like this, which this was beyond like 9/11. This was beyond Sandy Hook. You know, this is beyond, you know, faking some news event to try to, you know, manipulate. We knew that they were doing things like that.
Well, remember, even like 9/11, George Bush said, go out and shop and, you know, drop and live.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, things.
Yeah. But they put police tape across like playground sets to keep kids away.
And there was something. Yeah. And I mean, there was something so there was something so inhuman about all of that. Like, to me at the time, you know, and I think it was meant to induce like despondency and to make us just feel you know, to take away hope, to try to just make us this whole thing about, you know, you just got to shelter in place, you just got to stay in the lockdown until we tell you otherwise. This abuse of the phrase shelter in place, that, yes, you know, that term had always been used before, you know, like if there was inclement weather, if there was a hurricane or a tornado, and then they would advise you, well, shelter, you need to find a place, find shelter, shelter in place until storm passes. So
yeah. Do you remember the I guess it would have been 2013, the Boston bombing?
Yes, I sure do.
And they were ostensibly looking for one, because one assailant had reportedly been killed. The other one was on the loose, and they're looking for one person who supposedly was behind this bombing at the Boston Marathon. This was April 2013.
Right.
And they told everyone in the city of Boston to shelter in place.
Really?
And at the time, I'm thinking, looking for one person in an entire city. And are people actually following this order? I mean, I figured the Boston metropolitan area of Sunny Years is pretty widespread area. Looking for one person, you know, and suppose they found him in the back of someone's, was it a boat or something? And
I don't remember that well. But that, so that was like a mini lockdown.
Shelter in place. Then you had Boston Strong, remember?
And sure do.
Videos, so that we saw that in the, so it is kind of a side thing where they do this, they create a panic, and then people's bravery is proved by their compliance, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Strong. Absolutely. You know.
Yeah. And you know, it was just sort of unconscionable how they turn people against each other, how the people who ask questions, people who don't really want to go along with it, who don't just take their orders and do what they're told, are attacked, and it's there's like a like you're like oh these people who refuse to wear masks, these people who refuse to get later in 2021 when they had cooked up the vaccine,
mm-hmm.
or the Fauci, how would you call it, the Fauci elixir,
yeah.
that was your term for it. And you know, like this just this I mean, it's incredible to go back now and read some of the things that, you know, prominent people, and some people who I thought were cool people, who I thought were men of conscience, even someone like I know he's got limitations, but someone like Chomsky, who was like a consistent critic of American foreign policy, kind of a respectable leftist as far as that, you know, in that regard, but in opposing neoliberalism, but that now to hear somebody like him say, you know, well, if you're the people who don't take the vax should just starve, or it's not our problem what happens to them.
Yeah, all late night comedians doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Kimmel saying, making a joke about how if you're not vaccinated, we're going to turn you away from the hospital, and that's fine.
Has he ever like apologized for that?
I don't think so. I don't remember anybody ever
call him out on that.
I don't remember anyone apologizing for any
of
the
remember,
things.
Do you remember Stephen Colbert's thing doing what vaccine to the
yes.
I guess the tune of Tequila?
Yes,
which doesn't
I sure
work.
do.
Doesn't work even. Doesn't even work phonetically. But
it's the wrong number of syllables. Yeah,
yeah, vaccine. Dun, 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 dun. Vaccine. No, it doesn't work. And people dancing in syringes. Like, what world?
Yeah. It was so grotesque. But I think there was, before all of that, there was the nurse, the dancing nurses.
Yeah, you write a lot about the dancing, the phenomenon.
It's really weirdly compelling. It's like,
well, they had like dancing cops, like remember in Ireland, they go on the beach and they do a choreographed scene, all that. These fat lesbian, they call them Garda, I think, in Ireland.
No,
but you, it, they would do that. A lot of countries. This was like a global phenomenon. You had the dancing nurses, which is, you know, curious on its own. But you also had this thing here, dancing cops, like in Ireland. They go out on the. This is when Ireland's all locked down. Okay. They got it bad in Ireland. But at the same time doing that, the Garda, their police force there, is like doing this really bad choreographed dance on the
beach.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. I did remember. Yeah, there were things like that. There, I do remember. And you remember.
But who wants
and...
to watch fat people dance badly? But they were all doing it. It's like, why is this even a fun? Why is this? This isn't like a kitten playing a piano or a surfing
school,
right?
It's not cute.
It's not cute. It's just ugly. They're all fat. You.
It's grotesque.
They're not the
and,
Rockettes.
Right. And there's something about it, like when you see all the nurses dancing through the hospital. Speaking of cognitive dissonance, it's like, oh, the hospitals are a war zone, and you know, there's just it's just terrible. These nurses, these nurses and doctors are such heroes. They're just surrounded by these kinds of conditions, and then we see videos of them just dancing around, doing these choreographed dances that they've obviously spent some time working on. They sure don't look like they're in the middle of a war zone to me.
No.
So like, so
it's also,
I don't
also
know.
What... It's also it's odd behavior.
Yes.
It's, like if I have access to a GoPro camera or video, I'm not going to go out and record myself dancing.
No.
It's like,
no.
I know girls are different,
yeah,
but these are
it
the,
was,
you know, I mean, whatever. It's
yeah, it's inappropriate. I mean, it's inappropriate on every level. And
they're supposed
so
to be professionals anyway.
Yes, they're supposed to be professionals.
Yeah,
you know, we're supposed to. If it really is a war zone, we should be seeing them doing their jobs and like sweating and looking and just looking grim and
yeah,
all.
It should be like ER, right?
Yeah,
there's TV shows, so they're heroic, badly, you know.
Yeah, so. I don't know.
Handsome doctors and sexy nurses.
Yeah. But it was just this, I think there was just this weird kind of inversion going on everywhere. And, you know, there, I also talked about in I also talk about in my work, reflections on the 2020 scamdemic, how during the mostly peaceful riots, how suddenly these brick pallets were showing up everywhere. Do you remember this?
Like, I heard reports of that. Then I heard it was debunked. Then I found out it wasn't debunked. So
yeah, of course, as it always, yeah, of course they always send out their fact checkers and say, no, this isn't really happening. But I saw a video, like the one that convinced me was I saw a video with where there like there were two young men. One of them was a white guy, one of them was a black guy, and they were there to protest. You know, they were there, they weren't counter protesters, they were there to protest police brutality, but they were saying, look at this. Somebody put this brick pallet here. What are you trying to get us to do? You know?
Did you see that one video? Was it in DC or New York? I forget. But there were a bunch of college students in an apartment. They're maybe two floors up or something. And they're protesting, and they're like yelling down at the crowd, like, yeah, we're with you, man. And this one throws a brick to the window. He's you know, they're white guys. Goes, hey, dude, we're on your side. Another rock comes through the window. These white liberals.
Yeah. Well, that's always a delicious irony when
but we're on your side, man.
Yeah. Their own adopted the groups that they adopt turn against them because they know they're useful idiots.
Didn't they try to put what's his name? You know that kid up in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I can't, yeah, that's right.
They tried to put him in jail. He was acquitted.
Yes.
17.
Kyle Rittenhouse.
Kyle Rittenhouse. And, you know, why is it left up to Kyle Rittenhouse to fight off a mob? There's a National Guard. There's the state, you know, state National Guard. There's police. And no one ever said, well, where's the mayor and where's the governor? And why is it Kyle Rittenhouse and a few of his buddies, his adult buddies there, left to defend a car dealership from a mob?
Yeah. Acting in self-defense. And, and then he almost got, you know, thrown in prison for.
And wasn't he a minor? So why was he charged as an adult?
I don't know.
And apparently, was he fires into a crowd randomly, but hits two Jewish pedophiles?
Yeah, that's right.
As you do,
That's right. He ended up just shooting three anti. He didn't even shoot or kill any black people. It was all three, as you say. Non-black people who had criminal records of a certain kind. I think
he shot one guy's arm off.
Right.
The other two, the one guy was had been released like a week before. He had raped two boys or something.
Yeah, I'm remembering all of that. So I just thought, like, in retrospect, this is like something like I think it's really important not to let it go. And you know, not just because who knows if they might try it again. Although I tend to think next time they try something, it's going to be something different, because it's, you know, it's like they always, I don't know. I just have a feeling for how these things work.
Well, we have to move on to the next thing, so we have to let it go.
Yeah, the next big thing, absolutely.
I mean, Ukraine, right? It ended. Remember Ukraine? All of a sudden, everyone started wearing the Ukrainian flag lapel.
That's right. But I just so I like during the time it was happening, I remember, you know, just being appalled by it all, but also just. When I was just in the thick of it, it was kind of hard to get much perspective on it. It was just sort of like, this is awful. This is unprecedented. You know, my beloved parents are, you know, they're believing this. They're believing all the hype. They're near 80. They're staying, in their house. They're putting on masks. They're only hanging out with a certain group of people. And you know, only you know, meeting them outside, and you know, we're just doing Zoom calls with them, that we're not seeing them. They don't feel like it's safe to go and visit us, and like that was mild compared to what some people had to deal with. I know, you know, people who had whose loved ones, you know, died during that time period, and they weren't allowed to see them, weren't allowed to touch them, and like they weren't allowed to have like people weren't allowed to hug at funerals. Like there's some.
Some police actually raided a few. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just all kinds of things that, I don't know. It's something that I don't think we can or should forget, about, although it like, what I decided to do was to take those 12 pieces that I wrote during 2020 and like reflect on those same issues again, and how, you know, the sort of perspective that I have on them now. Yeah, there were so many, there were just so many things, so many strange things, so many inexplicable things. You know, the first thing, I mean, first it was the thing about masks, like how first they said, no, don't worry about wearing a mask. It's not going to make a difference. You know, the high priest Fauci himself said that, and then he reversed course. And so then it became like everybody going around wearing masks. And I'm reflecting on that now, how weird it was, how ghastly it was to walk around and just see everybody wearing masks. I mean, I was in the state of Georgia, so it was a relatively mild lockdown. It only lasts a certain time. And then the stores and stuff opened. The mall was open, you know, even in like summer and fall of 2020. But I remember going to the mall and, you know, being the only one in the whole place who was not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And
that's very intimidating. It's very intimidating.
It is. It's well, there's something about the sight, and it was something that had never occurred to me before. I never had thought, you know, the whole idea of such a scenario playing out had just never occurred to me. But
yeah, I remember this was going on. I would often not comply with that because it was silly.
Right.
Even if you accept the fact that there was a COVID, there was a novel virus flying around, masks aren't going to make a difference.
Yeah.
But my wife would, and because she had to do most of the shopping, grocery shopping. So I'm not going to judge her because she's sure. Going, you know, it's when you just want to go get the groceries and not deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so this is what they're relying on. So most people didn't believe the mask work. Most people think just believe that this is a way to get in, get out of there, right, being hassled on your way home from work. And they know that. They know that. Yeah. Then the occasion, do you remember that video? I think it was in New York where a couple of women were in a grocery store without a mask and a mob chased them out.
I don't remember that video, but I believe you. I believe that.
Well, threatening violence. And by the way, that's a crime. And those people were never charged. I would have found out who those people were and charged.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You know,
yeah.
Had they ever apologized?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's per the Atlantic magazine, that great, you know, a WASP, formerly WASP publication. Now it's owned by the Usual Suspects. They're saying
representative neoliberalism and the deep state and
yeah,
all that.
Just forget about it. Move on. And, you know, amnesty.
Yeah, that's right. Let's declare a pandemic amnesty.
And you saw the CDC just last week or 2 weeks ago said that treat it like the flu, treat COVID like the flu, which is what everyone was arguing. Everyone who was skeptical about the lockdown, the reaction was arguing three and a half years ago.
Well,
four years ago,
in one of the articles that I wrote in 2020, I was, you know, it was like we were in the midst of this time period where it was like, oh, it's the worst thing you can do to go out. If you're sick, you know, even if you're not sick, you should pretend that you're sick and not go, and, you know, not go near other people. But if, if you're actually showing symptoms of illness, then it's just it would just be unconscionable for you to go out and be around other people, because you're probably going to end up killing a bunch of, you're going to kill grandma. And what it made me recall, because I'm sort of I'm a bit of a sports ball fan. You know, I follow sports from time to time. And I happen to remember a game in I think it was the late 90s, maybe 97, NBA championship game, where Michael Jordan was supposedly had the flu and nevertheless went out and played, you know, just played his heart out and mm-hmm. rallied his team to victory, even though he looked awful, even though he was feeling terrible. And everyone at the time was like, wow, what a competitor. That's really courageous on his part. And I'm like, well, now wait a minute. Like today, if he or anybody did something like that, and by today I mean in 2020, according to 2020 mores, suddenly it was like, oh God, no, that's awful that he did that. He could have think of all the people he must have sickened and maybe even killed. You know,
yeah.
So it's like, my God. And I mean, it used to be, you know, before, not that long before 2020, it was like, if you were sick, but you still went to work, that was a sign that you were a stalwart. That was a sign that you weren't going to let just, you know, a little fever and the sniffles keep you from work, you know?
Well, if we did that, society would grind to a halt, which in many respects it did in 2020. If every time you had a headache or a cold, you just didn't go out, you'd lose probably what, like a quarter of your year.
it's just crazy how fast, you know, how quickly they were able to permeate, you know, permeate the culture with this fear porn, where, you know, it's like, oh, and like people were just forgetting what the mores were a year before.
It was a common understanding of epidemiology and health and these things, where obviously if you're feeling a little under the weather, you may not shake hands, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And right, I've been sure. getting over a cold, that sort of thing. If you're in church, you won't shake hands when they say, you know, that sort of thing. But it was reasonable. And I remember I was looking at this, and this is just where insanity just takes off, because not everything has to be dictated. It's just, if you provide the money and the general instructions, the people that work within the system are going to run with it. And you're going to have, you know, give them a little authority, give them a little money, COVID money to spend on equipment. They're going to use that money for something. And there's one school that actually honeycombed the classrooms in plastic plexiglass. Each desk. Remember the bands playing in bubbles?
I do. I remember some of those classrooms where it was like your desk was just like a big fortress that covered all around you. And
my kids playing Little League, you couldn't go in the dugout. They were just outside the dugout. They're all playing with each other. Just outside. if you were watching the game, you had to wear a mask. You're outside.
Yeah.
That was the rule. No, I think anyone really. The coaches had to wear masks. The players, some of the players wore masks.
Yeah,
that's just how insane it was. The NFL was the most hilarious, because you're supposed to wear a mask on the sidelines.
Yeah, I remember that.
But you're in the game, you're bumping each other, bleeding, spitting.
Yeah, it made no sense.
Then you get off the field where you've just been rubbing against someone in a pile, being tackled with spit, whatever, all types of bodily fluid spilling on you, then they go on the sideline and put a mask on.
Yeah.
It's like, what the? And then remember the cardboard cutout fans you could buy a cardboard for yourself?
That was for baseball mostly.
Baseball.
Well, they had the abbreviated, they eventually did play a season, but it was more like 70 games or something.
Then they had no crowds, and they actually piped in cheering.
Yes. Yeah, and they had fake like poster board pictures of fans in all the seats.
You
It was so.
apparently you could like buy one and put yourself in there or something. It was like it's, you
Yeah, I think so.
gotta love capitalism.
Yeah. But I mean, for me at the time, I was like, well, at least they're letting them, at least I'm getting to see baseball on TV. It was like, you sort of learn to take whatever scraps they can, whatever scraps they're willing to give you. You kind of develop this, even when you're of a dissident mentality, you still sort of form this kind of, well, you don't think to yourself, this is crazy, this is nuts, this is surreal, this is ridiculous.
Well, it
You
was like
think.
if you watch movies like The Stand, adaptation of Stephen King's book, of course, or what was the other one? Outbreak in the 90s with Dustin.
Contagion.
Contagion, more, which is actually is sort of predictive program because that's so recent, that's
Yeah.
relatively close to the event itself within 10 years. And I think social distancing is used in that movie, the term.
Is it? I haven't seen it. I need to see it, actually.
And the heroic CDC comes through the breakthrough, saves the day.
Yeah. Yes. The wonderful CDC.
And that this horrible flu that's caused by a bat,
Oh, wow.
there's a bat,
Yeah.
and then its droppings fall in a food market, and there's a chef who picks up the fresh food, brings it back, cooks, and he meets these people, meets this lady who brings it back to her home, and she died. Some people are immune to it, like Matt
Yeah.
Damon's character, and all that. But this is all, I remember going to see it as a movie. I thought it'd be interesting to watch. I didn't
Yeah.
think it would be like a test run. But
No.
the conditions in that movie never existed with the pandemic because the death rate was so low.
No. It was always bogus. It was totally bogus, and I don't even know whether there was
You don't
a
know because
virus.
they just borrowed from other cases. They If you died of a heart attack and you tested positive for
Yeah.
COVID, they said, "Oh, the COVID killed you."
Well, I mean, and I'm not a scientist, obviously. I'm not a doctor, but
Well, they can't
when
be
I
trusted either. Sorry.
well, I know, but I'm just saying, or even in my layman's mind, when I hear something like, well, it's never been isolated and there's no test for it,
Yes.
right? It's never been isolated. So how do we know that there is an it?
The
There's a
PCR test is non-conclusive. It's not supposed to be
yeah, the
used as a
PCR
diagnostic tool.
test does not test. It's not a people refer to it. People referred to it as the quote-unquote COVID test, but it wasn't. But that was just the shorthand, and it sort of took over, and people just stopped using their minds, and they just or maybe they never even knew
Well, the
in many
problem
cases.
is the whole thing, if you look at the whole scandemic thing, is that there was still a lot of trust in the medical establishment, public health authorities, and then people didn't
Yes.
think that this people thought it was apolitical, but it's been one of the most politicized, I guess, branches or fields or
Yeah.
areas in our society is the medical industrial complex, public health. It's always been very politicized. It's an area where the government uses a pretext to experiment on people. That's always been done,
Yeah.
and the corruption of the CDC. And they have a thing
Right.
called the Epidemic Intelligence Service. Yeah, it's almost like the CIA for the CDC, and their job is to go and find a virus or some sort of
Oh,
infectious pathogen
yeah.
that explains a reported pandemic or health event. What they're
Yeah.
often done is, and this is some people feel that's what they do, is they cover up things like mass pollution or poisoning. They blame it on a
Sure.
virus to cover up liability. So these institutions can't be protected. Not to mention the fact that CDC, there's a revolving door with the CDC and Big Pharma.
Right. It's like, yeah, it's just like the what are the complex, the
Military industrial complex.
so it's just the yeah, it's like the military industrial complex. It's the pharmaceutical what would it be? Pharmaceutical something else complex.
Some people call
Yeah.
it the medical industrial complex, but the
Medical
pharmacy.
industrial.
There's a
Yeah.
history here because in the 1970s, John Rappaport is a good guy on this. He's done the history of the corruption of the
Right.
medical system and also the interests that are behind it. In the 1970s, pharmaceuticals started pouring money into medical journals. They were buying these places, publications
Yeah.
stuff. And this is when they started, and now, they started advertising in the 90s, I think, pharmaceuticals. So
Yeah.
it became a huge business. And the CDC was there as a marketing. More or less as a marketing agent
Oh,
for Big Pharma. Originally, CDC, I think, was created to combat malaria, and that was it.
yeah. But these bureaucracies, yeah, they never say to themselves, well, I guess we don't have to exist anymore, so we're just going to go away now.
Yeah.
They always find
Was
someone.
it Julie Gerberding who went from CDC to Merck after she approved their
Yeah.
Gardasil, which was terrible, but a lot of people took it. And it's like, why would you take this? Well, because
Yeah.
cervix cancer, the virus causes cervix cancer. Well, how do you get it? Well, these are really promiscuous women. Like, it's like, well, so if you're not a prostitute, you probably don't have to worry about it. And also, it
Yeah.
doesn't. Also, hey, it doesn't work. But
Oh, yeah.
it may give you a stroke or something. Give it.
And also something like AZT, which I had, I wasn't really even interested in this stuff before, but I start, when the scamdemic happened, I started thinking, what
Well, this
else
is
have
you
they been lying
looking
about?
in the Fauci's background.
Yeah, looking into Fauci's background, seeing if somebody just tested positive for HIV but was fine physically,
They put him on AZT. They killed him.
which is like worse than chemo. It's like 10 times
Yes,
more
it was a
deadly than
drug. It
chemo.
was a black label drug. It was pulled off the market in 1968 or something because it was just
Yeah.
deadly. And then AZT. What happened was when AIDS came, a news story in the 1980, early 80s.
Yeah.
It was originally handled by, I believe, the National Cancer Society. But Fauci stole it as an infectious disease thing, so he'd get all the funding. And he went in cahoots with, I think it was a Burroughs Wellcome, and started
Yeah.
promoting this AZT, this previously drug they couldn't sell. Then they said this was the cure for AIDS or the treatment for AIDS, and it all of a sudden became profitable. And they killed hundreds of thousands of men with
Yeah.
this
They
drug,
did.
and they called it AIDS. They also killed children. Hundreds of
Yeah.
children were killed with this drug. That
I
was,
know. I know. Yeah, I've heard
yeah.
all about things like that.
You weren't ill, and they put you, and you became ill. That's probably what killed
Yeah.
Freddie Mercury. But
Yeah.
what they
Yeah.
didn't understand is that, the phenomenon of AIDS was it was a syndrome brought about by a lifestyle. The whole problem with the whole virus, again, another problem with this, a virus that was never isolated. It probably it, you know the
Yeah.
HIV,
Doesn't
why
exist.
it doesn't cause AIDS, but they that was the official narrative,
Yeah. And then
but
it all
despite
fell
the fact,
apart.
yeah,
Yeah.
it has, but people don't talk
It
about
fell
it.
apart when Magic Johnson got it in like 90 or 91.
Yeah, he just didn't take
And
AZT. He's fine.
then he's still fine today. Like how many, like nearly 35 years later. Holy
And the
cow. I
same
mean,
problem with the test is the same with the PCR test is that
yeah.
it doesn't. They said antibodies, which I always thought was a good sign, meant you were responding to it.
Yeah.
But they now became a sign you had it, and even if you're asymptomatic or you weren't ill, and a lot of these
Right.
men, they were ill not because of a virus. They're ill because of their fast track, gay
Yeah.
lifestyle,
Yeah. Yeah.
unhealthy lifestyle. And that's when doctors said, "Okay, I'm feeling weak. My immune system isn't working. Oh,
Yeah.
you had 600 sexual partners last year,
Yeah.
and you go to orgies, drug fueled, and you take
Yeah.
drugs, you take amphetamines and cocaine." So you can
I
maintain your
mean,
stamina.
it's a suicidal lifestyle. I
And then
mean,
they asked Fauci goes, I didn't want to stigmatize him. Why wouldn't you want to stigmatize that behavior? Are you interested in public health? I mean,
yeah.
at some point the doctor tells you to lose weight, or do they
He
bother
didn't
to
want to
lose weight?
stigmatize them, but he had no problem killing them. So,
It's like, do you tell someone to stop doing what's killing them? That's stigmatizing
yeah.
them.
Or make them take a drug that kills them, like
But
AZT.
it became a great excuse to talk about anal sex to sixth graders.
Yeah, oh yeah,
That's
that's right.
what it did. That's what then. In fact, there's papers to that effect with the
Yeah.
U.S.
But
Public Health Service and look, we're all promoting. But it's the same thing. They took it and ran with it.
yeah.
It
There
went
was
in,
this
so.
yeah, and I mean I was not in the least bit interested in these sorts of issues before the scamdemic. So I don't I mean I wonder how many other people are like me that like
Well, they thought
started to.
medicine was apolitical. And it's
Yeah.
not. It's not. They thought
Yeah.
NIH research is apolitical. No, it's not. There is nothing that is like pure. There's nothing that isn't corrupted.
Yeah, unfortunately, it seems that way. But here's just going back to the what I wrote about, and what this is what struck me with with ha getting some perspective on it, getting like 3 or 4 years perspective on the event since everything was going down, was the amount of coordination that had to have, like, I that's what I find really frightening, was, you know, is that, you know, you would think that what would happen in a situation like that, if it were an authentic event, you would have like certain groups, certain groups that would say, let's do this, and other groups that would say, no, let's do that. And then there would be debate, and there would, but instead of that, it was like everyone fell in, all of the establishment, all of the authorities just fell in line instantaneously. And like in 1 week in March, it was just, okay.
It's our chance to build back better. It's our chance to build that all in unison. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Of course. There was that crap going around with it, that WEF sort of, sort of stuff, the New World Order stuff.
What was the other tagline? Build back better and something new. What was that? I forget.
They did have their snappy little, 2 weeks to stop the spread.
And, 2 weeks to slow the spread.
Slow the spread. Yeah. And it's interesting you say social distancing came up in Contagion.
Remember the monkeypox scare a couple of summers ago?
Yeah, I do.
It's just a bunch of gay people.
What I heard. I heard that like once they saw that the people who were getting it were animals and kids, like, then it was like, oh, well, we better stop talking about this. It's not going to be politic for us to really draw attention to this anymore. But yeah, I remember monkeypox, and I remember, like, I don't know.
That's when I said when it came out, monkeypox and gays, I said, I think we should have like 2 weeks to slow the spread. Maybe we stretched out a couple of years. Quarantine homosexuals, have them shut up for a couple of years. Stretch it out.
Chase
them out of grocery stores.
I don't know. The immense coordination that happened. Like, how do you explain that? It must be that there's an immense coordination that's already out there.
It's the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
World Health Organization.
And everyone falls in line. Everyone fell in line behind them. Or if they were
all these treaties that they signed, no one pays attention to the infrastructure set up. Even with something like with the Epidemic Intelligence Service, where they coordinate, they graduate specialists in the field, and they go out and they infest various state health organizations. So they all graduate from the same area. Then you also had something like at the Imperial College of London. These are all sustainable universities. They call them sustainable. And they all operate within a kaleidoscope where they're all funded by various foundations, like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Burroughs Wellcome Trust, and these things. So they're all coordinated and basically make sure that they're all reading from the same script. That's where the funding comes from. That's something like the Gates Foundation.
Yeah.
And the foundation will engage in philanthropy, in square quotes, but that philanthropy will guide policies that benefit from its commercial ventures. You know,
yes.
And Bill Gates isn't at the head, you know, at the top of the pyramid here. He's just he was told what to do. But remember Bill Gates offering advice? He's like there in his salmon sweaters talking to some guy on CNN, and this college dropout is telling us what the world's going to be like.
Remember that? I mean, who's not a medical expert, not that medical experts should be trusted either, but he's definitely not a medical expert. He's not a doctor.
Well, it turns out that the medical experts are all paid for by people like Bill Gates. So
yes.
Technocracy. Remember, there's a big push to technocracy during COVID. The experts, listen to the experts, which turns out all the experts are paid by Bill Gates and people like him, and they're just greedy oligarchs. So
yes,
scientists
have their own agendas. Their agenda is not to keep us safe, healthy, and happy.
Well, it's the same way that AIPAC will keep Congress in line. you know, maybe more bribery than blackmail. But basically, it's where that's where the money is. So they control the money. So they're going to say, I mean, some doctors don't do it, and they were cut off. Like there's two doctors out in California who said, no, this is ridiculous. They remember YouTube started banning it. They took the YouTube.
Yes, I remember that. I remember
even though they're doctors. Or Scott Jensen up in Minnesota. Did he ever have his license? I remember they were investigating his license because he came. He exposed the fact that they were lying about the deaths because they were told to classify our deaths as COVID deaths. People who die of cancer and car, motorcycle accidents. He also exposed the fact that the with the COVID money, the money that the government provided, they paid hospitals, you know, $13,000 just to call everything COVID. And then they tripled it to $39,000. So they put him on a ventilator, which killed 90% of the people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just, I mean, so many things, so many questionable at best decisions just became, just became dogma, became unquestionable dogma.
Remember that floating hospital went up to New York? It was left empty.
Yeah,
Trump was talking about bodies rotting outside hospitals in New York.
Yeah, I remember that.
Then that first video, so the guy up at that New York, so that hospital that's supposed to be overwhelmed in New York, the guy went there. It was dead.
Yeah, I remember people started investigating hospitals, and it was like, oh, we can't have they turned against citizen journalists who were just turning their just going into hospitals and saying, what's really happening here? Doesn't look like much.
Yeah.
And, you know, nurses are getting laid off. You know, the hospitals are not really war zones like we were told that they are.
And then people had to forego treatments and necessary surgeries. Yeah.
It's so atrocious on so many levels. People died of cancer who didn't have to, like who could have gotten treatment, but
then you have people who were institutionalized, meaning they're in either hospitals or old age homes, who are isolated and neglected, and that killed off tens of thousands of people right there because they're a lifeline.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in the hospital, you know, and you're stuck there for months with no visitors, because no one can visit you, that's not going to be good for your health, and nor is it where people going to make sure that you're being treated.
It's not good for your mental health.
No,
and probably not good for your physical health.
Yeah, I know someone whose father supposedly died of COVID, but he died of dehydration in a retirement home up in New York. Dehydration, meaning there's no one there to take. Now, ordinarily, those people will have family showing up and kind of act on their behalf, make sure they're being treated properly.
Yeah.
You know.
But not in this case.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just so many different directions to take it. We haven't even touched the atrocity of the jabs that, I mean, I mentioned it briefly, but like that was what, you know, what we're talking about was 2020 stuff, but then 2021 rolled around and they had the jab ready for us. And then, you know, it was starting to look like they were going to construct a world in which you basically couldn't go anywhere unless you got it. You couldn't get a job. You couldn't work a job. You couldn't travel. You couldn't.
Yeah.
Like I remember in 2021 thinking to myself, I guess I'm never going to be able to visit New York again.
Yeah.
Because like everything in, or if I go to New York, I just won't be able to go in. I won't be able to eat anywhere or visit any.
Yeah, now you're thinking I don't want to ever go to New York ever again.
Well, I mean, maybe so, but I mean,
now we have an immigration crisis where you have illegals in the country. What about COVID?
Yeah, I know, and there was all the stuff going on in the UK too, with you know, where they were
the pots and pans.
Yeah, yeah, there was
2 o'clock or something.
But also they were like they were imposing this. Was it Boris Johnson and his administration was imposing this lockdown while they were all,
yeah,
while he and his cronies were all partying hardy, and just doing whatever they pleased. I mean,
yeah, that came out. And then Neil Ferguson, the guy who came out with that original study, which was the pretext for the World Health Organization's recommendation about, what was it, 600,000 dead in Great Britain alone or something, and millions in the United States. It was all fudged. He never had, you know, this guy gets everything wrong. History. But he worked for the Imperial College London, was tied into the Burroughs, Wellcome, Gates, and Johns Hopkins. Yeah. So all these universities, supposed, you know, these highly respected institutions, are all corrupted. And that's a hard pill for people to swallow. You know, it's like, I can't trust the experts.
That's I guess the point that I'm trying to make. Now,
the Neil Ferguson was caught hooking up with his girlfriend or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's
cheating,
I think,
on his wife, right?
Cheating on his wife. There literally was was there a public service announcement that told people to have sexual intercourse with a mask on or something?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not kidding.
But what I keep coming back to, though, is just for that amount of coordination to have to for them all to have been able to snap to it that quickly shows that there really is a for lack of a better word, a quote conspiracy, or I don't know what you call it. Maybe there's a better word for it.
A plan.
I don't know if you
business model.
George Carlin said something in his later years he actually became pretty based. And he said something like, there doesn't have to be a conspiracy when you have different groups that already know each other and already have everything coordinated. There doesn't have to be they don't have to conspire. They can just, I don't know the exact wording that he used, but it was, but something along those lines must have been the case. And so that's what I find really.
Well, we got a glimpse of that with Event 201. Which was a tabletop exercise that was in October, just before that, which is just mimic the entire thing. Then there was also lockstep from the Rockefeller Brothers Foundation.
Yes. Oh yeah, there were
a lot of white papers and all that. Yeah.
Looking back, there were lots of indications of what they were, what they were up to. But
there's a financial angle to it too. We had this sort of the. In the summer of 2019, you had the repo market seize up, but this has to do with debt, cycling of U.S. debt, and so that's when BlackRock introduced the plan going direct, and that's what the central banks were going to take over. I guess you could say fiscal policy, which would pretty much destroy the sovereignty of all legislatures and parliaments, because they're supposed to just decide fiscal policies for their respective governments.
Yeah.
And basically it was going to put the central banks directly in command of everything. You already have been, really, just to the control of debt and issuance of currency. This was in 2019 in Jackson Hole. And lo and behold, their plan of going direct was instituted, I think, in March of 2020 with the Trump administration. Larry Kudlow, I think, spearheaded it for Trump. And the going direct, and that was all part of that COVID relief money. And the I think BlackRock was given $4 trillion to administer, and to goose the stock market. This all just money created. Again, this whole thing is wonder why we
printing money,
telling people not to work and print money. What are you going to get with that? A lot of price inflation.
Yeah, what we got right now.
We have today, yeah. And that's what happened. And then this is a financial good. Then. The destruction of small businesses for the benefit of large corporations like Home Depot or Sam's Club or Amazon. It's a great beneficiary of that.
Yeah.
At the same time, Jeff Bezos controls the Washington Post, who's stirring up all the fear. This is all increasing Amazon's market share. So you don't have to. I mean, if You can see the pattern here. There's an interest here in the destroying legacy businesses, small businesses. There was a Whitney Webb did a wonderful report on that. There was a thing called Cyber, the National Security Cyber Agency, or something like that. I forget that. I might get that wrong. It was a created by the National Defense Act of like 2012 or something, but they had written a white paper talking about how U.S. is behind China on the social credit score system, and they have to catch up. They have to surpass China, and part of that process would be the destruction of legacy businesses. That would be brick and mortar stores, privately owned vehicles. So this also melds with the Agenda 2030.
It's all part of the it all fits together, and it all fits together with the depopulation, with I think the depopulation plan in general.
Yes, and then when you make people sick and promote all types of degenerate lifestyle, this has been on pretty much the agenda for since the late 60s, I think, when the U.S. government started planning to do this stuff with
and the proliferation of the vax, to the extent that they, when they were really pushing it, which was mostly throughout the year of 2021, when they were pushing it further and further and trying to, put more pressure, twist more arms, get more people to shoot this poison into their veins.
Well, you become an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, that's right. I became an anti-vaxxer. I knew about the issue of vaccines. It didn't really interest me, or it didn't capture my attention.
But then you look into it, you go, oh, maybe it should interest you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I recently just watched that documentary called Vaxxed. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yes. And then there were whole history of polio and how problematic that narrative is. They didn't really cure polio. They just sort of redefined it out of existence.
I mean, I'm wondering how many vaccine skeptics they created. I mean, maybe this is overly optimistic, but like I didn't have any problem with vaccines before 2021, but now, I'm instantly suspicious when I hear the word vaccine. So
kind of a crude, if you think about it, it's kind of a crude, simplistic method. Is this introduce a pathogen, your body identifies it, and you become immune to it. Or does it work that way?
Really? Yeah.
Because when I interact with pathogens in the real world, I breathe it in through my mouth and nose and that sort of thing. It's not being directed, injected into my muscle tissue with whatever else happens to fall into it at the factory that's in China. it's like knowing how vaccines are made is like knowing how sausages are made.
Yeah, that's right. And even like when I was watching this, the documentary Vaxxed, the real problems were apparently when they started pushing the what was it called, the MMR,
yes,
or it was like a triple vax, a cocktail where people were saying, we're okay with getting vaccinated for measles, but we just want the one measles vaccine, and then the CDC said, okay, well, we're not making that available anymore because if they really cared for people and really wanted people to get to be healthy, wouldn't they give them options? I don't know, but apparently not.
Well, the broader picture is that the narrative or the propaganda that the health revolution was brought about through heroic intervention by doctors is fake, largely.
Right.
Basically, the heroic approach is good for like trauma, even heart surgery. Yeah. There's things that they can improve people's lives, some treatments. But overall, public health, particularly with childhood illnesses and diseases, the disease isn't cured by medical intervention. It's cured by better hygiene, better diet, public sanitation. These are the things. These aren't heroic. These are basically plumbers and farmers save more lives than doctors.
Yeah.
And you change the environment, cleaner environment. And this is something that was observed even going back to the whole narrative of smallpox, saying that smallpox vaccine did cure it actually caused outbreaks. That's a lie. Mm-hmm. And they had towns that rebelled. They passed law in England. I think Edward Jenner was paid £20,000 in his day, but he was a fraud,
Right.
And so, but these people are so wedded to that narrative that you know, okay, because I'm not an anti, and people, most people aren't scientists, and they don't want, they sound like a crackpot. It's like if you're skeptical
No.
about having fluoride in the water. You know, I watched
Yeah.
Dr. Strangelove. Only crazy people question fluoride in the water. Then if you look at the real story about why fluoride is put into the water, to turn a waste product into an additive so they can make money off it, as opposed to being charged with responsibility for getting rid of it, disposing it properly. That's literally why you have fluoride in the water. And they give this lie about teeth, you know, about good for your teeth, as if swallowing fluoride and having it go throughout your body is the same as directing, you know, applying
Yeah.
fluoride directly to your teeth. It's a little, you know, but people just
Yeah.
accept it because no one wants to be, you know, a general, you know, Jack Ripper and Dr. Strangelove by questioning fluoride in the water,
Right.
you know.
Yeah, there's lots of it's sad to think that even I mean I thought that Kubrick was more of an artist than that. I didn't think he would allow propaganda in
Well,
his
it's a great movie. It's funny. I could give him
Yeah. Yeah.
that. But
But I mean, it's
I love
depressing.
that he throws in this anti-fluoride, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the cops that put fluoride in the, you know, in ice cream.
Yeah.
Actually put fluoride in ice cream. Ice cream, Andrake. They've gotten ice cream. Funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's
Yeah.
but that's
And
people. You know, people trusted all that. So it's, you know, it's that's how they're able to pull something like that off.
going back to 2020, just one more moment, and I mean, I think we're kind of getting close to the end of our conversation, but something I'm looking over my text and something else that I think is worth remarking upon is how they started to talk about essential workers during that time period. What's a non-essential, what's non-essential work? Like
You know,
if
I
you're,
would, by the way, if my job wasn't essential, I wouldn't be going to it.
yeah. Yeah, right.
Oh,
It's
I just go
essential.
because I got nothing better to do. I
Yeah,
love this.
it's essential from the point of view of you needing money to survive, need
And
to get paid for.
apparently, head shops and alcohol, you know,
Liquor stores.
liquor stores and, you know, these were essential.
Yeah. But I mean, there was something to me like they're like they were smuggling in this like two-tier kind of perspective on humanity, like it was like this kind of eugenics through the back door linguistically, where they were saying, you know, we've got essential people and we've got non-essential people, and you know, the essential people, they can keep working. The non-essential people, you know, they need to just go home and not get paid, and you
Well,
know, we'll,
wasn't there a book called The Future Doesn't Need You?
I don't know. I
Like
don't
five,
know.
6 years ago published, The Future Doesn't Need You. And it's all
I
based on technocracy and AI producing the stuff. So this kind of feeds their misanthropic worldview. And
Yeah.
in the past, they've always needed multitudes of people to work for them.
Slaves. Yeah.
Yeah, wage slaves, actually producing things,
Yeah.
organizing. And then under that scenario, you can either like use like slave, harsh slave labor, or the more wage slavery, the highly, you know, the well-paid wage
Yeah.
slave of the West,
Right.
you know, you're on the hamster wheel, but you're given a modicum of comfort and middle-class lifestyle,
Yeah.
consumerism to distract you. These things
Goods
are
and
quite escalating.
services.
Because again, if your paycheck depends on understanding something, if your paycheck depends on not understanding something, you're not going to understand it. And so,
Yeah.
and that works for most people, unfortunately, and
Yeah.
understandably so. It just, I have empathy. I understand that pressure. But you started seeing these books, then you got that Noval Harari. Have you heard that guy up in the world? That creep Jew
Yeah.
homo. He's
Yes, I yeah, though yeah, I can't remember what his thing is now, but it's
his
like
book about
something.
sapiens, and he's talking about
Yeah.
again that he talks about useless eaters. That's like Kissinger. He actually talks
Yeah.
that basically with the development of AI and technology, you just simply don't need people anymore.
Yeah.
And that's how maybe those ghouls that the world they come from look at it. I mean, they don't have
Yeah.
to worry about the rabble anymore. They can automate everything, which is silly.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, they're crazy, you know, and they have a lot of
Best,
power, evidently.
yeah, best laid plans of mine. Yeah, they are crazy. They're insane. It's like a, it's a satanic induced insanity.
You got this guy, Yuval Harari, can't figure out what men and women are for, and he's dispensing advice to all of humanity.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
that's right.
I mean, I know that sounds reductive, but really, it's kind of like, really? I'm gonna listen to this guy? You know,
Yeah.
he how morality isn't important. If I were living a life like him, I wouldn't. I'd say the same thing that, you know, these things
Yeah.
are passe, they don't mean anything, but it's not someone who has humanity's best interest at heart. And he admits that. And there's a reason why people like him are promoted. It's not because he's brilliant, it's because he's spreading a message. And then the reason why we know who he
Yeah.
is, you know, I've read excerpts from his books, and he's just, it's stupid, some of the things he
Yeah.
says.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, I just like there's so many subtle and insidious things that there were so many that there still are, but I mean,
Well,
during 2020 there were.
someone like Harari, this is how this we get someone like the COVID thing and how they're planning to reorganize society with Agenda 2030. You're own nothing
Yeah.
and love it. I mean,
Yeah, you'll own nothing and be
I mean, I'm
happy.
sorry,
Yeah.
they produce these videos you can watch. I mean,
Yeah.
a lot of money is going into this, and it is happening, and they do it by slowly strangling the economy. You know, basically, you can if you can change the material conditions, then make it appear that these changes are necessary. They're a response to changing conditions, but they're creating false scarcity, crises, wars, which, you know, blowing up natural gas pipelines, things like that. They're doing
Yeah, absolutely.
they make everything more energy, artificially more expensive to destroy, like the industrial capacity of Germany and all that. But
Yes.
if you can do that, then you can say, well, it's just inevitable. We don't, you know, just like to say, you know, and they'll be set up to with all the companies, holding companies and corporations to change everything. Just like BlackRock has planning to rebuild Ukraine after Russia's defeated. Well, that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's kind of failed there.
You know, but again, it's well, yeah. Sorry, but Neville Harari, that's his name. Neville Harari. He in a is it Sapiens? He talks about well, remember, it's 2030. You own nothing, and you'll love it. How is that
Yeah.
possible? Who's going to own it? No one's going to. Well, someone's going to control the
Yeah.
resources. So someone's going to own it, right? So someone's got to. It's always going to be owned or controlled by somebody. And you know, that control we call it ownership. It's like what? So that's ridiculous. It's just what this abstract, you know, what like supercomputers can decide. You know, people will be controlling it. Whoever writes the algorithm, it's like AI. It's not like it's real intelligence. There are people writing
Right.
the algorithm. And the problem with AI, if you maintain purely pattern recognition, it becomes a Nazi.
Yes. Oh, yeah, sure.
Becomes right wing, you know, because it
Yeah.
notices patterns and it's not sentimental, right? So they have to
Right.
change the algorithm. So all of a sudden your artificial intelligence doesn't work anymore from
And
that
that's what happened
standpoint.
with the, well, that's why the Google Gemini thing was so was saying no white people exist, like show me a white person, show me a white German soldier in World War II, and they had pictures of black guys
SS
in Nazi
uniforms.
uniforms. Yeah. And like they were saying things like, oh well, pedophilia is not really that bad, and
Yes.
like this kind of stuff, like it was such an embarrassment, but it was just it's like garbage in, garbage out. I mean,
Yes.
that's my whole attitude towards AI
Yes.
is I don't believe in this singularity. I don't believe that it's going to gain consciousness. I mean, I'm just
No, that's just the. It's yeah, it's not. It's
that's
not.
like that's like science fantasy. That's not even science fiction. That's,
Yeah,
but
it's
it's
like
like a two.
data on Star Trek or something.
Yeah.
No.
No. Or
Oh
see
no,
Sapiens.
he's learning to love. Okay,
Yeah.
everyone knows that. Every movie of the robot has that.
Yeah.
He's
I
learning to
just
love.
I don't think that's going to happen. But
You know,
I
it's.
mean, that's not to say that AI isn't is harmless
Yeah,
or
but like.
anything.
I was going like that book by this guy, Neville Harari, in his book Sapiens. He talks about happiness. And basically, happiness to him is just a chemical reaction in your brain. It's not based on
Right, of
you
course.
experiencing
You're doing
fulfillment.
materials.
It's
Yeah.
just a purely material, meaning it's not you consistent with logos and
Right.
the theological course of the universe that's prescribed by God, and
Right.
and happiness or peace is you're in accordance with that. And him is just biochemical. So you can be absolutely miserable physically, but they give you the right drug, it makes you happy. So it's basically he's just rewriting Brave New World. I mean, it's just a rehash of Brave New World. So you know, but it's nonsense. It's all sophistry, and it's all you know. So
yes, but it's very, very, very well funded and very powerful.
Yes.
So that's the I think that's the frightening thing. That's the takeaway that I you know, like with the advantage of with you know the perspective of time, it's like pulled away from. From what happened in 2020 and in 2021, you know, first with the scamdemic and then with the push for the vax, it was just the amount of coordination that went into all of it to push for things to make things happen that were manifestly bad, that were not good, that were not protecting people, that were not enhancing people's lives, that were not enhancing people's health, mental or physical. You know, it just like, and that they were able to just crank it up. Like they just, it just all, you know, it barely took a second for it all. I mean, it took like a couple of days. It took like a week for them to just decide, oh, well, you know, we're shutting down the world. Like that's what I find really frightening. And that's what I think we should all find. That's what I think every person of conscience should find that frightening and should be not worried, but should because you know worry is that's not the vibe to go for, but people should be aware and concerned and you know willing to push back, which of course people did, and there were plenty of heroes during that time period. There always are people who are willing to break the mold and stand against the you know the mob and so forth. But it's just I think that's like the biggest lesson that I take from it is, well, that's one of the lessons that I take from it is just that it was such a coordinated effort on such a mass scale, like across the world. And like there was coordination between nations. Like you think, wait a minute. I thought we lived in a world where people of different nations didn't get along and there were wars and stuff.
Yes.
Now it's like, no, the whole world, we're all standing together as one, you know, they're all pushing these identical dystopian policies in nearly every country in the world, except Sweden for some reason.
Yeah. Of all places. Right.
Yeah. I still don't get, I guess it was that was the control group or something. I'm not sure, but, but anyway, that's sort of what I take from it all. You know, there's always a lot more that can be said. There's always more that can be said. And it's fascinating at the same time as being, you know, really deeply disturbing. So.
Well, I think you said, well, how can they do this? One thing you talk about, these are sort of are reptilian figures, not in the DNA sense, but in a sense they have no empathy, they're cold, and they're, you know, they're simply ruthless.
Yes.
Like, for humanity. And you talk about and you write about how example would be like Winston Churchill. You write about
Winston
Churchill, so you're calling for blood, sweat, and tears, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not his blood, sweat, and tears, it's everyone else's. The same with all the leaders of the world. It's not him doing suffering.
He could give a hell of a speech, but I mean, like, he wasn't out there dying, you know, he wasn't out there, you know, he was like, you know, a participant. I mean, he was as guilty as every other world leader during that time period. Who was pushing that war, you know, that destructive war on the world. So yeah, I'm not a, you know, I definitely, yeah, I used Winston Churchill, like I cited him
as an example of like this this kind of rhetoric that we heard, similar to the rhetoric we heard in 2020, where it was almost all just like bad, like everything was gloomy, everything was, you know, it was like a,
remember Biden, we're gonna have a winter of death.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, then we were hearing things like that. There was a there was some PSA that was on HBO called "It's Okay to Not Be Okay," where they were showing all these actors and stuff saying, you know, I'm feeling bad and I'm feeling gloomy, and that's okay. You know, we should give ourselves permission to feel. And it was more like it was supposed to be therapeutic, but it wasn't. It was just more.
Remember the video of all them singing "Imagine."
Yeah, well, that was.
I mean,
that was demoral. I would talk about demoral, or that was more infuriating than anything else, than demoralizing. But I really do think demoral is like, I think one of the takeaways is be aware of when people are trying to demoralize you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, there are, I'd say refuse to be demoralized, no matter how bad things look. I think we have a duty to, not look on the bright side or anything that corny, but just to keep fighting, you know, and to have hope. And I think we have to have faith. That's what it ultimately boils down to.
Yes,
but
that's why they closed the churches.
yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, in the state of Georgia, unfortunately, and I talk about this in my book too. In the state of Georgia, and lots of other states, the Catholic Church just decided to close down itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like. I think out in California, they were it was more draconian. They were like, and in Canada and in other places, but in the state of Georgia, that they just decided, you know, we're just going to close up shop. And this was in the middle of Lent. And I remember it went through. I remember thinking, are they going to be closed for Easter? Are they going to be closed? Are the sacraments not going to be available during Holy Week? Are they actually going to do that to us? And they did that to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they were like, oh, well, you can still watch the mass on Facebook. You know, you can still virtually attend mass, and like, no, that's not going to cut it. You know, there was something really extremely demoralizing about the idea that about the fact that the in my state, and I think in a lot of other states, I think in most states, really. The church just decided to be cowardly and to not try to not even fight for the, you know, its right to exist and to dispense the salvation and giving sacraments to the faithful, but just closed up shop. And
like, at least the church never gave in to like having confession on Skype and Zoom.
That's true. That's true.
I was waiting for that.
That's true. That would be, well, yeah, that they yeah, that they did hold firm on that, I guess, or that never became an issue that I can recall.
No, just I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
What's next?
But it was a little bit worse than that in a way, because it was like, now you can't even confess. Like there's no, like, if they so I don't know if that's worse or not.
Yeah, I went to that every other aisle. It's marked off.
Yeah, yeah. They eventually did that. Like when they were, when they eventually opened up again, they were like,
yeah,
practicing social distancing, and you know, some places were saying you have to wear a mask and so forth.
Yeah, a lot of this is the bishops that did this. Is a lot of the your parish priests were against it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
the American bishops are a lot of them are pretty worthless, unfortunately.
I remember going to mass during COVID. That one priest goes, you know, those masks don't work. They don't work.
Really?
He actually said that. They don't work. You know.
Really? Who said that now?
The church I was going to at the time.
Oh. Okay.
he gave it in context of a homily that was about something else and probably about fearing death or something and that sort of thing. You know, why fear the inevitable? That sort of thing. That's a sort of approach because and the mask we wear for security, you know, they don't work.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably we probably reached about the. I mean, there's more that can be said about this, but I appreciate you having me on to help spread the word. I feel like it's something important to talk about. It's something that's never going to be irrelevant in our time until it gets addressed, you know, in a systematic way, which I have a hard time ever seeing happen, you know, short of the rapture taking place or, you know, something supernatural, which I guess, you know, that's always a possibility.
Aliens arrive.
Aliens. Yeah. Well, aliens have become
a thing. Was it the day of disclosure? That's kind of like a pseudo religion thing. It's like almost like disclosure. Yeah. The government admits, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Disclosure. Look forward to that.
That's a whole different ball of wax.
What is the latest thing now, by the way? Is it Israel? I think it's all like Israel now. It's all Israel.
It is. Yeah, it is Israel now. But that's kind of a weird thing because there's a lot of. There's a lot of dissent on that one.
Yes, they're creating a lot of opposition and a lot of attention. I don't think they'll ever come back from it. I don't think people are fed up with it.
Yeah, I agree. It's looking bad. I mean, as powerful as they are, and as much clout as they have, I think that. People who see what's going on in Gaza right now.
Then this heavy-handed maneuver to take over TikTok.
Oh yeah,
is it bipartisan bill? Yeah, what does that say? It's bipartisan, unanimously by 350 to 65 or something, and the vote to try to rip TikTok away, and they trying to claim it's a national security issue or something because of data breaches. I think it has something to do with the fact that a lot of people on TikTok are saying bad things about Israel. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I think
it's one platform they don't control directly. So,
right.
So, okay, Andy, thanks.
Sure. So, again, the name of the book is Reflections on the 2020 Scamdemic. And if you could put the link up, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'll provide the link. And as far as your primary website, where should people go?
Well, I'm on Substack. You can just type in Andy Nowicki Substack, and that should get you there.
Okay, I'll provide a link for that as well.
Yeah. I've got my YouTube channel, and that's about it for now.
How do you stay on YouTube? Just talk about, like, show kittens or something?
YouTube has mellowed a bit over the last couple of years, but it's still, I mean, I'm there. I mean, I got my old channel got, I think you know this. My old got nuked, like right around the end, like near the end of 2020, I think. So I just had to start from scratch, and I still stay on YouTube instead of going to one of the. I guess Rumble is doing pretty well right now, but.
That's Mark Anderson or something. What's his name?
But my impression at the time was the best way to reach people was still YouTube, even though, I mean, I hate the censorship of it. And I'm not a big fan of it. You know, generally speaking, the way that it's run and the agenda that they're trying to push, and how they, you know, how they take, how, if you cover certain subjects, they might just take it off and give you a strike, or they might put up some, like, a little disclaimer saying the New World Order is blah blah blah,
according to Wikipedia, and you know, to try to set people straight, and that's all pretty insulting. But I stayed on it just because I don't know. It's still a good way to. I mean, there still are open-minded people out there who aren't, you know, don't have a definite, like, who are still willing to listen, and they're more likely to be on YouTube than they are on, like, some places like BitChute or whatever. Some of the other places are just gonna, you're already going to be talking to the converted, and there's something to be said for just being able to reach people who are open-minded, but not necessarily, you know, haven't necessarily come down on your side yet.
It's an echo chamber.
Yeah, you want to avoid echo chambers. Yeah, that's exactly.
I don't know what's wrong with the world. Everyone agrees with me I hang out with.
Yeah.
It's
a good meta joke right there.
Yeah.
That's like, didn't Pauline Kael say something like, I don't know why Nixon won because everybody I know voted against him?
Oh, I think it was, what's his name? The conductor.
Oh, Bernstein?
Yeah, Bernstein said it. I don't know how Nixon wants us to overwhelmingly, everyone I know voted for McGovern. I think Bernstein said it, yeah.
And said it without any irony, with just like, without Leonard, any dollar.
Yeah, Leonard Bernstein. All my parties you go to, everyone voted for McGovern. How did Nixon win?
Because there's a lot of people you don't know who voted differently. So
okay, Andy.
All right, thanks, Tim.
Good night.
It was fun. Night. Good night.
Bye-bye.
There's a new day dawning that belongs.